Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org. Good morning. Well, a new poll out today from Quinnipiac University tells us that 59% of New Jersey voters say they're worse off financially than they were a year ago. Add that to the 20% who say that things are pretty much the same, and you've got a whopping 80% of respondents to that poll not seeing any improvement in their economic lives. Suffice to say, confidence in the economy is low, and it's dropping. But what exactly are the indicators of consumer confidence? What's the story behind that consumer confidence index we see that's trotted out each month by the Consumer Conference Board? And what does consumer confidence tell us about where we're headed? Joining us now to discuss this is Peter Coy, economics editor at Businessweek. Peter, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much.
You get the sense that consumer confidence is the canary in the coal mine, that when we see that start to drop, we know we're in for it. Is that accurate?
That's actually the key question. You started right out with the big question, which is it a canary in a coal mine?
Yeah.
Or, in other words, is it a leading indicator of trouble ahead? Or is it more just like a coincident indicator?
Yeah.
In other words, something, you know, if you already know, if you see the canary dying, well, you already know because you're choking to death yourself.
Right.
No real surprise there. And I would tend to take the latter position, which is that it does not really predictably forecast what's going to happen in the future. It just kind of tells you what's already going on.
Yeah. All right, we can take some of your calls on consumer confidence or lack thereof. What's your definition of consumer confidence? Are any of you still confident even though you're spending less and owing more? Is there a specific indicator that you use to measure your own confidence? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Peter, tell us, what is this consumer
confidence?
Yeah.
Just to run through the history a little bit.
Yeah.
Back in the 1940s, the Federal Reserve, the central bank, decided it really needed to track consumer finances. So it worked with the University of Michigan on what remains today the oldest survey of consumer confidence. That's now done in conjunction with Reuters, and the Fed is out of the picture. That goes back to 1947. It's a monthly. Then in 1967, the Conference Board came in with the one you mentioned. 1986, ABC News picked up one. And then just this year, Gallup poll started a daily. So you have like at least four, and there may be more that I'm not thinking of. RBC,
all using different formulas and different.
Right, they're all different. The key frequency is one key difference. The Michigan and Conference Board being monthly, ABC News being weekly, and Gallup poll being daily. And in this case, I think daily actually has a big advantage because if there is any predictive value to the, you know, canary in the coal mine theory, it's a short-lived one.
Yeah.
So you want to be tracking it day to day. You know, if there's a terrorist attack or a huge change in gasoline prices or a bad bankruptcy or something that might actually affect consumer confidence, you'd like to see it in the daily numbers and not have to wait a month for
the
monthly.
So what is
numbers.
It that they're measuring? Are they just calling John Q. Public and saying, hey, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, for example, the Conference Board has like five questions. They ask you, how do you rate general business conditions in your area? Do you think they're going to get better or worse? Available jobs? What do you think is going to happen to your total family income? You know, Michigan has a question about sort of business conditions in the country as a whole. And actually, one of the criticisms of these is that they're asking people about stuff that they have no personal knowledge of.
Yeah.
I mean, you ask John Q. Public what the general business conditions of the country are, and, you know, how is he or she going to know, aside from reading the papers and listening to WNYC?
I mean, they can only know what their personal deal is, right? Do they have a job today and
right.
that sort of thing. But they're sort of being asked to be experts in a way, right?
Yeah, and it's to that extent, I think that's one of the flaws. You know, the conference, there have been some academic research on this actually recommending that people be asked more about sort of behavioral stuff, stuff that relates to their own personal lives, where there actually might be a legitimate contribution of knowledge.
All right. Let me get James in here. James is in Manhattan. James, welcome to WNYC.
Yeah. Hello. That's pretty much what I was going to say, is that it's a lagging indicator, and what it indicates is what the media has been telling us for the last year or so. The media has started telling us a year ago that the world was coming to an end, and finally the consumer has thrown in the towel and said, well, the world is coming to an end, because, as you said, the ordinary consumer doesn't have much knowledge about the world in general beyond his own immediate neighborhood, his job, his employer, his community, etc. And as far as his opinion about the world, it necessarily has to be given to him by the media, because he has no other way of knowing what's happening to the world. And now the media has decided the world is coming to an end, and that's what it's been telling the consumer, and that's what the consumer believes.
Yeah.
And then
how
that
do you
causes
measure
the consumer to stop shopping and to start behaving in such a way as to self-fulfill the prophecy. So the world will come to an end because the media said it should come to an end.
James, how do you measure your consumer confidence?
I don't even have such a notion. I mean, my own notion of what's happening in general is more broadly, you know, from the general sweep of history, the United States has done rather well over the last 200 years in spite of the cyclical ups and downs. And there's no doubt that this one, after this one, will go forward again, because all of the factors that have made us do well, the increase in knowledge, the increase in education, the application of that knowledge and education to production and technology, is what's created this bounty that we enjoy today. And there's nothing indicating that any of that is coming to an end. So the future is very bright. It's just that the media has chosen for its own reasons to temporarily put that aside and spike fear into the consumer. And so now we'll get a severe recession, because people are just not, you know, most people, they want to
watch. All right, James, I think
TV,
we got,
and they don't want to, you know, read books about the history of the American economy.
All right, I think we got your point there. Peter, James seems to think the future's so bright he's got to wear shades.
Yeah, I would really,
I think he's in the minority, no?
With the demonization of the media, and only partly because I'm a member of the media. The other reason is I just think it's not true. You know, I talked to Jim Stock at Harvard University, who was one of the world's leading econometricians and has looked into the reliability of consumer confidence surveys as an indicator. If it were true that the media could affect consumer confidence, and that consumer confidence could in turn affect the economy, then, you know, the listener might be onto something. But what he found is that what really affects consumers' spending is kind of real stuff, like do they have jobs? Have the values of their stock portfolios been going up or down? Is there a lot of inflation? And these are all things that we can independently measure.
So you're saying that the screaming guy on CNBC who says, buy, 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 sell, 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 that guy has no effect on people at home and their confidence?
Here's what he has an effect on. He has a big effect on stock prices.
Jim Cramer is his name, right?
Jim Cramer. But people are much more rational about their spending on real goods and services than they are on the stock market and the bond market. They tend to get kind of crazy because they're all trying to outguess each other. Is the market going up or going down? And sometimes a high stock price will lure people in. As a figure, they see it going up, it must keep going up. When it comes to buying a couch or a car, a high price discourages you and a low price encourages you. So there's some natural equilibrium you reach. And that's why you can kind of be confident that people aren't going to get too crazy about their spending on real goods and services.
All right. Piper in Brooklyn is with us. Piper, welcome to WNYC.
Hi. I guess I'm one of the regular folk over here who aren't reading economic history books. But I do think that consumer confidence is based on what you're seeing around you in your day-to-day, what your friends are doing, who's losing jobs, the cost of simply, I have a new baby, and the cost of food, you know, and I think that those are real things that are happening. And I'm somebody who never thought I'd be talking about, is there a problem in my household with the cost of food, with the cost of heating? even though, you know, prices are going down. But these are things that then you call friends and you say, okay, let's go out this weekend. Well, all of us are okay with not going out to dinner.
So what have you seen, Piper? How has this economic downturn affected you directly? You talked about child care and going out and...
Yeah, I think that it's, just for example, my husband has a small business, and it's hard. He owns his business, and it's hard for him now. We're sitting here living month to month, you know, paycheck to paycheck. I'm a teacher, but I'm on maternity leave, and his business credit got cut, and he cut down, and he's had people pull out of jobs because, you know, we live in New York, and the people with the big money are in finance, and it's affecting them. And so we're really talking, you know, pretty much weekly, you know, can we have that money to go even just go buy coffee in the paper in the morning? No, we're going to make coffee at home. So that affects my local coffee shop, you know, all the small things.
So, Piper, when you think of your confidence or lack of confidence, it's not really affected so much by what you see or hear on TV or radio?
No, it's what's around me. It's not the media. It's, you know, I'm going to, I'm going over to people's houses and they're telling me, you know, they're young, you know, upwardly mobile friends of mine who are like, I just lost my job. Yeah. You know, I'm laid off. So what happens then? And so I think what I'm trying to say is that it's acceptable for us to turn around and all of us talk about tightening our belts. So the second that your friend base and your social circle are talking about tightening their belts, it's our habits are changing.
Yeah. All right, Piper. Thanks very much for your call. Peter, what about that?
I think that's exactly right. That's the kind of point I was trying to make, which is that she's saying that her habits of spending are based on kind of reality, not on some evanescent notion of consumer confidence, this flighty idea that people just have animal spirits that push them to do crazy things.
Yeah. Reports today show that the consumer price index saw its biggest one-month drop ever last month. And
yeah.
So the CPI is a measure of how much Americans pay for groceries, entertainment, et cetera. That's
right,
a bit of a more
market basket.
That's a bit of a more tangible measurement.
That's reality now.
Yeah,
that's,
it's confidence displayed by actual spending, right? So,
yeah.
So which indicator is more worrying to you?
Obviously, lower prices are good in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Who would have? And in effect, they make your paycheck go further, so they actually boost your real inflation-adjusted pay. That's the good thing. The bad thing is when wages start to follow suit, you know, because after all, that means when prices go down, it means the companies are receiving less money for their goods and services. They might have to lay people off or they might have to cut pay.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then we're in for a world of trouble. But that's what the central banks of the world, the Fed and others, are most worried about. The fact that the core prices went down a little bit by just a tenth of a percent is actually a little more concerning than the fact that the headline rate, which includes food and energy,
went down.
That tends to fluctuate a lot more.
Just in this one conversation, Peter, my head is still spinning from all the different economic indicators that are out there. So what do you think we, just folks at home, should be looking at? Is it the stock market? Is it credit-related numbers, consumer confidence, CPI? What should we be looking at?
You know, you should really be looking at your own personal situation more than the aggregate indicators, which you really can't do anything about. Like, is your employer in sound condition? Do you need to start looking for work elsewhere? Are you meeting expenses? It's fine to pay attention to the aggregate stuff because it does affect you at some level, but it's everybody's in a unique situation, and it's a little micro universe that you inhabit that you got to worry about.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of people who are watching the stock numbers every day, and they're not even in the stock market.
Right. It can become really obsessive.
Yeah.
I try not to look at the stock. Well, I do look at the stock prices all the time because I write about it, but try to not let it affect my behavior from day to day.
Well, Peter, you could have told people that all they have to do is read Business Week, so I give you props for not plugging yourself.
Thank you.
All right, Peter Coy is economics editor at Businessweek. Peter, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be on.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org. In a minute, we'll ask what God's role is in all of this.